Our first lesson from Proverbs 9:8-12 will also be the sermon text to consider in detail in a few minutes. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, God's wisdom in human flesh and blood, dear family of God. One of my most vivid childhood memories is family devotions. As soon as we were old enough to read, Dad had a Bible in our hands and we were expected to follow along. It worked out best for us to have them at the breakfast table before we went off to school, back in the day when families actually ate at a table. Very helpful, great blessings, got to even choose our own favorite readings. I talk about those sometimes, but it was that blessing at home that really carried us through. We did not get to attend one of our Lutheran schools. We were not Wisconsin Synod at the time, really until we four boys got to high school age, and the nearest Wisconsin Synod school from Oregon at the time was in South Dakota, so it was 1,500 miles to school for high school. Now it's better than that, but we have found statistically, and I've seen this over the years too, that the Lutheran school is no guarantee that kids will follow and stay faithful to God's word. It really all boils down to what happens in the home. Any surprise there? Statistically, this carries that out. If parents talk about their faith at home, if it's not just for church or school, if it's their life, they are mining the treasures of God's wisdom. Because there in Christ is wisdom's high reward and priceless riches. That wisdom is concentrated throughout the Bible, but especially in one particular book, 31 chapters. You can read it in a month, just a chapter a day. And nowadays, you don't even have to read it anymore. You can find so many recordings of the Bible. Pick your translation. They're typically free on the internet. And if your phone is smart enough, you can actually download them and have them with you, the Word of God, even when you're away from internet access, like out in God's great creation, on a lake or in a wilderness area. I love to hear the riches of God and His Word out there where His priceless riches are so vivid in creation. And today, following Jesus, we are being taught again to count the cost. There is a cost to these priceless riches. Yes, Jesus paid with His holy precious blood, guaranteed these riches of wisdom's high reward with His resurrection, rules over all of it in His great ascension to God's right hand. True. But for us to cash in on those riches, Jesus says, count the cost. See what it's like to follow me. We cannot interpret away that word hate in the gospel lesson today. When Jesus talks about that in Luke 14:25-33, this is real hatred. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That may not make any sense at all if you are blessed with God-fearing family members at home. If you're together on the same page in the word of the Lord, trusting in him as Lord and Savior, no hatred there. But one family member with no use for God's word or anybody that follows it, and you start to get a feel for what Jesus is talking about, and it's been true for believers down through the ages, such as one of the judges, the one with really, really long hair. He's never supposed to cut the hair. Before Delilah convinced him to cut it, there was a different Philistine wife for Samson. And she threw herself on him, sobbing. She was a Philistine woman, an unbeliever. Sobbing, "You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer." Our family devotions reading Judges told the rest of the story. You can read it on your own, but there's hatred there. "You hate me." And Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, Monday, Thursday, night he was betrayed, he said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world because I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." And yet, our Lord Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Pray for those who hate you." It is a love-hate relationship that only God's family can understand. But in counting the cost of discipleship, put all those earthly blessings of relationship and family on one side and Jesus and his wisdom on the other. He is wisdom's high reward, priceless riches, all wrapped up in our dear Lord Jesus. So when the Lord comes and says, the verse before our text, "Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult, whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse, and then do not rebuke a mocker or he would hate you." Well, there's plenty of mockers out there. You actually run across these people all the time. You know them at work. They're so full of themselves. They're usually the ones that are complaining that nobody listens and they just don't realize they're doing all the talking. Ever know somebody like that? "Nobody ever listens to me." Yeah, well, if you'd be quiet and just listen to everybody else once in a while, it's just the way they are. And then there are those who are professionals. We typically call them comedians. They start to run out of material. Typically, they start to get really gross and disgusting. Have you noticed that? There's also something about comedians, though, too. The good ones that last more than a few years, they're actually funny, not just gross. It's not just shock humor. There's actually something there. But in our culture, with so much entertainment available, everybody thinks he's a comic. There's so many Americans, you know, as soon as they get the camera on their face and the microphone, boy, they're just there to entertain. We saw one at a financial seminar the other night, and I've never seen this happen in public where a public speaker had to actually ask somebody to leave. But he was finally talking more than the presenter, and he tried, you know, to quiet him down and finally just ask him to go. And the man stopped on his way out, turns and looks at about 60 of us in the room, and says, "If you really want to get rich, I'll show you how to grow tomatoes." Then he walked out. Surprise? Alcohol was involved. And his wife and son. Nobody was sorry when they got up and walked out too. Because that's the way it is. There's no love lost on the mocker. People pick them out easy. It's just, when we're doing that, it's very hard to see it. So what the Lord is telling us here in these priceless riches of wisdom's high reward is, look at this picture. Here's the contrast, what not to follow and what to imitate. He says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. So maybe in our honesty, we can look back at times embarrassing when we just weren't ready to listen. Somebody had to love us enough not to give up on us, but to just follow through until we were ready. Well, like Solomon, the holy writer in the Proverbs, he says in another place, if you've exalted yourself and acted foolishly, then put a hand over your mouth. There's just a time to stop and say, you know, I really need to hear this. And thank God for Christian friends and family that don't give up. Because then you can look back and think, wow, that was really a blessing, major turning point in my life. If that had not happened, then you can extrapolate on where your life would go, because the guidance of God's word will stop us from great loss, foolish decisions, things that don't serve anybody but ourselves and ultimately not even ourselves. That's what sin does. It looks so attractive in so many ways until you're there. And then the world that hates us turns and Satan is at your ear and your old sinful flesh is just back on you biting and the guilt. Thank God for turning us around, because the great blessing, priceless riches begin there. As he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I remember after preaching once, a university student came up, very intelligent, I think pursuing a doctorate, and asked in all seriousness if his higher learning would follow him into heaven, into the next life. I got the feeling he was shopping for a religion. If I told him what he wanted to hear, maybe he'd buy into Christianity. If not, find something better. But you see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What we have in heaven, I tried to explain to him, is going to be so far beyond what we have in this earth. It's like little kids arguing over toys that not too long after that they don't care about anymore. You know, what the things of this earth going to count when we're finally in heaven? The endless joy and full wisdom of God and the full knowledge. He says, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. It's all going to click then. It's not going to be all the lights on but nobody home, you know. It's going to be all the lights on and everybody home at last with Jesus. And it's lifelong learning in the fear of the Lord, not just this life, but for all eternity. God is infinite. We'll never catch up with him. But the day will come when we have the intelligence and the wisdom, the heart, the ability not to be drawn back by all this sin and selfishness, but be able to freely discover around every corner a new surprise from the infinite grace and mercy of our God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not like Adam and Eve trying to hide in the garden. That's slavish fear. It's been rightly said, slavish fear is afraid God will come. Childlike fear is afraid God will leave. He's so good, you just don't want him to leave. So in the Psalms, there's this refrain, Hodu l'Adonai, ki tov, ki l'olam yasto. You know that is, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. He's just so good. But you always want him there. And as he comes, he says he adds to the wisdom, he adds to the understanding. And for these last two verses of our text, to understand these, I want you to just imagine in your mind some famous rock star or movie magnate who died young because of foolish living. Now let me read the last couple verses. For through me, wisdom speaking, your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. This is where it gets down into the nitty-gritty of life growing up. Wise Christian parents teach their children, follow the Lord, listen to Him, and don't repeat my mistakes. Foolish children think the best thing is not to listen to their parents because then, you know, then they won't repeat the mistakes. It's convoluted. We need those firm, insistent parents who say, wait a minute, just stop and consider this. Don't be so quick to think that you'll escape the mistakes. You've got my blood in your veins. I had to teach my kids that too. This is going to be difficult. You'll find yourself repeating what you did not want to do. But look at Jesus. See how he mercifully took all that guilt of ours off our backs and washed it away with his holy precious blood. Look at his life. The Lord our righteousness, the wisdom from God. In lifelong learning, he did this too. As a teenager, well, 12 years old, preteen, he's in the temple. He's unjustly scolded in public by his mother and stepfather there. Jesus answered wisely, had to be in my father's house, didn't you know, about my father's business? And then it says he went home and he was subject to his parents. He submitted to his parents. Jesus has gone this way before. He was willing to learn. He put himself, even as the infinite Son of God, infinite intelligence, he put himself in a situation to learn wisdom and knowledge. So he grew in wisdom and stature throughout his life. Wisdom's high reward. All right there in human flesh and blood. As you follow him and focus on him, children don't have to repeat the mistakes of their parents. And sometimes when parents are trying to lead their children away from God's word, children, as with government, have to say we must obey God rather than men. There is a time for God-fearing children to let their parents go to their own ruin. Sad but true. Your family does not have to follow that way, but follow Jesus altogether. Those are happy families, blessed for generations, just sticking with the Lord. I wish I had time this morning to share with you the Holy Spirit's words for wisdom. They're bina for builders. There's da'at or data for the lawyers and the doctors and the engineers, the data. And then there's chokmah for wisdom. Everybody trying to put it all together, all that data and that knowledge, put it together in real life situations. But I'm reminded of something Luther said in one of his sermons. If we try to preach everything, we get nothing. So let me finish with a favorite story about a very intelligent, world-renowned geophysicist that I got to meet along the way, but Pastor Lauren Steele knew her well, traveled in China with her. He said that in her office, outside her office in Beijing, there was a display case with her papers in English, but he said, I could only read one or two sentences and I was lost. So one time he said he was trying to explain to her the foolishness of evolution. She listened politely for a little bit and then stopped him and said, Pastor Steele, you can't teach me anything about science. Just teach me about Jesus. Isn't that all there is? Isn't that all we need? Wisdom's high reward, priceless riches treasured up in word and sacrament, and lifelong learning from that word as well. Jesus is all there is. He's all we need. By faith you have him. Wisdom's high reward. Amen.